Welcome to The Clean Project, promoting real, transparent, and faithful conversations about purity and sexuality in today's culture. We welcome back our co-host, Gavin, to discuss issues ranging from the fallen nature of humanity, developing spiritual disciplines, as well as our response to the heightened sexuality on campus from a biblical worldview. So, without further delay, let's get to our guest.
Yeah, you know, it's just a platform we can just discuss, talk as men about some of the things that are not talked about, really. Yeah, I've been out for a little bit. You know, we started this. When did we start this? Beginning of last summer? Started about a year ago, roughly. And, you know, life's been moving on. God's been moving, doing great things. And Jason's still been committed. You know, he's been getting interviewers on. He's been editing the podcast and keeping it clean. That's a bar right there, keeping it clean. See that? It's been going with the Holy Ghost, just moving in the wind. Here and there, I haven't really been prioritizing this, but I think God's going to do his thing regardless. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into things. We got a word, but what you got?
You know what's funny? And we did a lot of scripture in the last couple of episodes, but I thought it'd be cool to let the Holy Spirit just lead this combo. You know, because I think sometimes we got to go chapter, verse, drop resources. Be honest, dude, most of the time I don't even look those up. So
I listened back to it might have been the first episode or maybe the second with the tabernacle. Man, I had to listen to that through again. I said, Lord, this is wisdom right here. Jason is teaching me some things. I listened to it again and I listened to it a third time. I said, wow, I'm actually feeling convicted for not writing those scriptures down because that was some stuff. Just as you listen through this podcast, just really try and search for those nuggets because they're going to be in there. The Holy Spirit's doing something. So, amen. Just be ready for that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb. So I think I got those because I was in the Word more consistently, and that's definitely a season. It should be a daily thing. But I just got caught up with just life and work stress and all that. But yeah, when you dedicate time in the Word and you're in the commentary, and the commentaries help, but when you're just prayerfully asking God to reveal wisdom, and then other things you just pick up, you pray about. But yeah, that was like something that I kept, on the, I kept that on the side for a little while. But I think the key that I mean from the whole vantage point of like purity and the scriptures, I think if we try to get free from, lust on our own strength, using worldly ways, using accountability apps, using, systems. And I think some of that is part of the process because you got to start somewhere. You got to reach out to people, confess, like get some encouraging people around you. And people have had some victory. That's another thing too. People have had some victory in the battle. And I think the other thing, this is one of the things, the ways of God that I've observed. And I do believe if there's one way God can work with us and heal us and get us to get free of this, he uses patience. He uses time. And if we're actually doing the work over time, when we hit these like crosses, when we get to points where, maybe it's something we're desiring, maybe it's a long awaited promise and we think we're ready for it and it just kind of delays and delays, trials that happens. I think that's actually, it's in our patient endurance. It's in our waiting that we actually do get free and break free of these, because what may happen, which happened to me fairly recently, is I kind of had something happen and it didn't work out the way I thought. And it wasn't because I wanted it to. I really did. I had other things that I was trying to figure out and work out and get free from and navigate through. And then I had this burden that I, something from the Lord that he put on my heart years ago that I just avoided. And so what happened in a moment is that I think some things broke off, but then other things filled that gap. And if we're not discerning and we're not grounded in the Word and having counsel around us, even then, you still might go through it. No matter if you get free from porn today or you break through tomorrow, God's still God. And he still deserves the praise. I mean, he's not going to sit there and be like, yeah, you got free from porn. Like, you're special. Like, no, it's like, yeah, but you gave me the glory for it. Mm. You suffered righteously through that. Honestly, a lot of times that could be the deal breaker, with what he wants to do in our lives. Like, did we give him praise? Did we actually appeal to him? So I don't know. What do you want to speak on some of that?
Yeah, it's kind of just a lot to unpack there. I'm trusting Jason with the edits, trusting him to snip this up clean. This is just an idea, but eventually just like an open air kind of thing and just a discussion and collaboration kind of thing. And I don't know how this would work, if you have multiple mics or whatever the case may be, but like just kind of one of those fly on the wall podcasts, you know, get a couple of the guys together. Everyone's just sitting around chatting, discussing the word, developing it, man, patience and peace. So I got a little sermon getting cooked up. The Lord's been convicting me to start writing some things down. He's been instructing me. And I haven't been very good about it, I'm gonna be honest. You know, writing down all the revelations or the words that the Lord gives me, and he blesses me with them. I will say, I'm gonna be working on kind of diving into and understanding the fruits of the Spirit and what that means to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, right? With a topic or a sin in your life, like maybe pornography or adultery or lust or fornication, or it's all the same, right? It's all in the same boat. It's self-focused. And at the end of the day, it's taking your peace. How can you walk in the fruits of the Spirit of God without peace? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. But patience, right? Jesus describes them as a fruit. They're a fruit. You know, fruits don't grow in a day. We got to be the branch. We got to abide. We got to really, really just contend for the empowerment from the Spirit of God to bear fruit. There's no way we can bear fruit on our own. You put a stick in the ground, it's gonna die. But if you plant a seed next to a tree with other roots, they will harvest, they will grow together. We cannot do it on our own accord. I would go as far as to say it's impossible. Without the Spirit of God, I mean, there are some worldly habits and disciplines and just the beneficial mindset, I know is just becoming a more focused thing within the young community now. Like pornography is actually losing its grip on our generation. And I don't think it'll be one big movement or whatever, but that, you know, with fitness and with people prioritizing these things coming out of COVID-19 pandemic, people are prioritizing their health, their mental health, staying clear of these things. And if they can do without the Spirit of God, you know, obviously they're still pursuing the lust of the flesh in other ways and manners. They're not necessarily disciplining themselves by being obedient to the Word of God. They're doing it for, you know, a self-righteousness almost. Even though they're doing that, we have the empowerment of the Spirit of God. So if we're seeking these things, if these fruits, if we're seeking peace in our life, peace to be set free from a sin, if we're seeking empowerment from the Spirit of God, then we will be able to conquer these things. We'll be able to conquer the desires of the flesh. In Romans, it describes, Romans 8 gives a big contrast of people that walk in the spirit of sin and death. They're under the law of sin and death. But then there's a contrary. This is the Spirit of life. When you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. I mean, it's simple, but not easy, right? It's as simple as don't do it. Find something else to do. Stay busy. Stay surrounded. Stay motivated. Press in. It's as simple as that. Not as easy, though. Can't fast away the flesh, right? Can't pray away the flesh, you know? But you can make it submit to your spirit. You can make it submit. You can weaken and just so crucify your flesh that when you are walking in the Spirit of God, when you're focusing on the fruits, you'll begin to flow in the gifts. Lay hands on people without a conviction in the back of your mind. You can pray for others. You can do all things, right? The Bible says to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, man, there's just so much to be said about these kinds of things. But, you know, I think we'll keep a little more lax today. You know I kind of got into a little preachy mode, but yeah.
I mean, we opened up to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So one thing that you just learned from years of, you know, being around God's people, being in the Word, the wisdom, the teaching, is that if we want a blessing from God, we have to do it according to God's ways. And here's the thing about people. If you're out there and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, I don't care where you're at in your life. I mean, even if you backslid, even if you walked away from faith, it's more important that we bear God's image and love people than what we can acquire for ourselves. And sometimes that means giving things up that we desire, even if they're good. What we have isn't guaranteed to stay with us our whole life. And I think, like, honestly, sometimes if we're not wise with the things that we have, we could lose them because of fleshly things, because of deceptions, because of root level issues that we never got addressed, or it's just, you know, attacks that we're not prepared for. I didn't realize up until maybe when I started to actively do campus ministry, you know, how I even met you, Gavin, how much spiritual warfare it takes, depending on how many issues and doors you've had open in the past too. But some folks may not show that, but I can tell you, if you're doing any type of ministry, especially when you're working with youth, like college students, you are stepping into a battlefield, and it just looks like everyone's having fun. Like, oh, this looks like a place filled with light. People are learning, like all these different cultures, friends, all this. That's the outside. The inside, you know, when you're a young person, you're exposed to everything, and you don't have discernment necessarily in all these areas. So when you're coming up close to people, even Christians, like, you have to be grounded in the Word. Like, you have to have a life of purity. I didn't realize this before, but it is really important. Because the enemy will send his spirits and demons to provoke you and exploit that or other people. You know, it's not like whack-a-mole, but like there's definitely times where the moment you get a breakthrough, like you're getting tempted in some other way. The enemy's going to try to find a foothold because he doesn't want you to share the word. I think the college campus particularly is such a stronghold of the enemy because he knows it's the next generation. And he also knows that's where all the ideas are getting shaped for culture, politics, education, defense, academics, all that. And because of our society and how much emphasis it puts on that, if we're trying to get in there with the gospel, it's so powerful because when that breaks out, it changes everything. I mean, generations of people, you're talking about the downstream effects, like your life, Gavin, and several of the other students in the ministry that we did are going to affect thousands to tens of thousands. In certain cases, maybe who knows, millions. The influence that you guys have over the course of your whole life. Well, I mean, that can't be everybody. That doesn't mean everyone in the church too, because I'm telling you, not a lot of people that I've met have the desire to do anything like outside of their life, their family, like in their local church, which is mostly self-contained. It's not breaking out into the culture as much. But did you have anything you want to respond about that?
Yeah, just about spiritual warfare. It's a reality, right? The college campus is a battleground. That's just how it is. Seeking a life of purity and living a life of purity is so crucial and important for many things. God uses broken vessels. The stress on living a pure life and seeking Christ in a manner in which is honorable and pure, right? You want to be a pure vessel. You just want to be overflowing. You don't want to be some muddy water, right? Can't drink sweet and bitter water from the same fountain, the Bible says. So just with ministry or anything you do in life, anytime you're pouring into someone else, I'm not saying you have to have it all together before you come to Jesus, right? So don't hear what I'm not saying. It is so important and crucial to be leaning on God, to trust him in everything that you do. And when you're walking in that manner, it begins to become an authority, to become a mindset, a discipline, a habit, and then a lifestyle, you know? And when you have your lifestyle based around the word of God and everything you do is just for the kingdom, the enemy isn't going to sit back and just cross his arms like, oh man, he's advancing the kingdom. Man, anything you do that tries to advance the kingdom of God is the kingdom of darkness hates it. But guess what? We're fighting for victory. The only power the devil has is preventative power. He can try his best to prevent something. He can try his best to prevent something from being great. You know, and it's not always prevent something from happening. It's prevent something from being great. Maybe God's got something rolling and what you got going is good and you believe the enemy's in the mix trying to cast the enemy out of your camp, man. You know what I'm saying?
When you said God's got like something great for you, you know, and I mean, it's like, I know we're going to talk about fathering here, but I love my dad. He was just a guy, you know, he had an absent father in his life growing up. And my dad was one of the few brothers that really wanted a relationship with his dad. I think it's a different generation. But my dad, like, he wanted to reverse the damage. So he invested so much in my brother and I, like, just so consistent. I realized, like, I have little quirks my dad has. Like, I externalize some of my problems. And that's really, when you're trying to do mentoring and discipling, you really kind of got to, like, check that at yourself. You can't pour that out into the people you're doing it because they're going to be like, whoa, okay, we're at the same level now. It's like, we are in Christ, but like in life, like you need examples to level up, you know, and that's like stuff that I'm finally dealing with now. Like, okay, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in ministry, work situations, life, if we don't have a relationship with our heavenly father, like, because my dad is just an earthly guy. Like, even if you have a father that is just like doing it right, loves the Lord, you know, just working hard, ministering, do discipling, like your dad should be a reflection of God. And what that relationship is like for a lot of young guys, it's abandonment. Like, they just don't have it. It's absence, estranged. And probably why we struggle with the lust of the eyes and the flesh and the porn and all that. That's another quote unquote father, the prince of the world, you know, Satan, who's basically saying like, oh, I could provide for you that need, that desire that you want, that intimacy. But, you know, your heavenly father doesn't care about you because every time you try to do something good for him, see how much you have to suffer. Why can't you just be in his love all the time? You know, here you're 37, you're 24 and life's not working out the way you thought. You're suffering, you're struggling. Like, see, you could just take a taste of this and it's free. Dude, you ever think about this? Like, how is all this stuff free? I mean, when I do video, like in audio for this, like it takes a lot of time. The equipment's not cheap, depending on what you're doing. And I don't have like support for that. I mean, even this podcast, it's like all done, you know, out of my pocket. But if you think about it, how are all these industries, these porn industries and Hollywood industries getting funded? Well, they're getting that money from somewhere. And like, what's the agenda? To, I don't care. If you don't have discernment, I'm going to tell you right now, Sound of Freedom was a perfect example of this. This stuff is tapping into everything. It's tapping into politics, tapping into drugs, it's tapping into the finances of darkness. And guess what? That totally makes sense. If the primary objective is to cut you off from a relationship with God and your identity, that's the answer. So what's the solution? We need to get our relationship with God right. And when we're going through trials, when we're having to make choices with limited information in ministry with other people and our hearts get hardened, we have to remember that our primary calling in life is to be sons of God. Our primary gospel mission in life. The gospel is about the prodigal son returning home. That's the gospel. If we're not teaching and discipling people, even with this project, that your primary mission in life is not just to get clean, it's to have a restored relationship with God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, who is equal to God, who gave his life for us, then we're not doing God's will here. If you guys desire purity, pursue the Father's heart.
Jason's going to pass me the mic after that. I'm over here trying to digest. I'm like, dang, man, this guy's on fire. It's what you do after. You can't go back in time. Once you've fallen, you know, you get that clarity and then you're sitting there, you're convicted and like, oh man, God, double-mindedness, all these demonic things and just trying to divide your house, your kingdom, your mind. He's trying to divide you, friends, everything, but it's what you do after. And I was telling Jason earlier, we were just having this conversation and I think we were just talking about sin. I don't even really remember exactly this topic, but I was saying, you have to hate it. You have to hate your sin. The beginning of all wisdom is to fear the Lord. You know, so be wise. The Bible calls us to be wise. Be meticulous. Be disciplined about the way that you want to go and live righteously for the Lord. You know, there's not a formula for it. Seek the Lord. It's going to be subjective. It's going to look different for everyone according to your struggles, right? But there is no temptation that we cannot endure. There's no temptation that is new to man, right? So it's like you're not in a unique situation. You're not in a unique circumstance. And I was actually listening to Leslie Brown, the motivational speaker. He's talking about dreams. This could be for any goal. He said, start with, is it possible? Is it possible that you start a business? Is it possible that you fulfill your dream? Is it possible that you do away with this sin that is ruining your life? Is it possible? If it's possible, then commit yourself to it. And now, this isn't going to be a motivational speech kind of podcast, but I'm just saying, I'm getting a little fired up right now. You're the same man that you were 5 minutes ago. But you got to tap into your spirit, man, to be made new. You cannot rid yourself of the flesh. You can't get rid of it. You cannot. But you can weaken it. And Joe's actually been telling me this just because I have a slumbering spirit. I fall asleep, man. I like to be relaxed. I like to sit back, kick my feet up. And sometimes I just nod off or whatever, like an old man. But Joe says, your body does not tell you what to do. So when you feel, oh man, the hormonal, da 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 da, lies from the devil. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The spirit is willing. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is made one with God. Your spirit knows the Lord, right? Your spirit is the eternal image of God. When the Bible says walk in the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh, you know, there's many ways you can look at it. But if you just kill your flesh, fasting kills the flesh, prayer kills pride, and giving kills greed. That's just the way it is. Those are the spiritual rules to the kingdom.
I was going to say one of the biggest transformational things I've got, it's like your whole reality as a son of God, like your whole point is to love. As humans, as creation, we're created to love people. The fall made us selfish. So really the opposite of love is selfishness. And at the root of that is pride, because the pride comes before the fall. That was Satan's fall. I could be like God. I can do things better than God. God's ways are unjust. His ways are too hard. I'm following him and yet I'm suffering. People who say they're following him yet are thriving. And even when you're trying to do right, bad things happen. And you get to a point where the enemy is always got his voice in your ear, but God's ways sometimes are more silent. And you know, some people say, you know, the closer you are with God, the more you hear God's voice. And I've never had a day where I didn't feel God's presence. I would say that could be a perspective that I need to think about. But I could also say that we see in the scriptures, there's times when God did pull away. And he says it a lot. Now, if you camp in the Old Testament a while, that may or may not always be the best thing, but still God's word. And you know, I think about guys like Job. He didn't understand what was happening. I think about the prophets when they were calling the nations to repent. The nation America and the nations around the world and their human kings are all being called to repent to Jesus Christ. We have crucified Jesus. You go to places in the Middle East, even America. We talked about this on this show. We traffic more people here than any other place. Like children, you don't talk about, this is one of the most darkest places in the world. And this is a nation that's supposed to defend freedom. The point is, I want to make is this. What's the solution? I think the Bible provides the way through the means of repentance. I'm going to hand this over to Gavin because I want to hear Gavin's perspective. Our response to all the good and bad things that ever happened to our life, all the trials and tribulations, the sins that we carry, the iniquities and the transgressions that we experience, always is about repentance. Well, how do we maintain our sonship with God?
Yeah, and just before I get to repentance, before this nugget leaves my mind, we're called to walk in freedom. Declare that freedom over your life. Stop walking in sin. Stop walking in the mindset that you're a sinner. We know that we're sinners by nature, but when you are in Christ, your identity is not a sinner. Your identity is with Christ. Your identity is with victory. So walk in that freedom. You know, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but gets back up. Now, do not use that to dismiss your sin and say, oh, Lord, I'll get back up. I'm back on it. No, the righteous man gets back up 7 times because he hates it. Every time he falls, he hates his sin. To walk in that freedom is to declare it over your life, to understand it, to proclaim it, to take every thought captive. If you're walking throughout the day and you find yourself with lustful intention, lustful thought, one thing I like to do is, God, I bind that thought, cancel it. Sure, whatever spirituality level you're at or whatever you believe about spiritual warfare doesn't even matter. This is a practical example. You take your thoughts captive and you begin to cancel and shut down every perverted thought that comes to your mind and say, Lord, fill my mind with purity. Fill my mind, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And then you proceed with throughout your day. You don't dwell on that. Oh, man, I was lusting. No, you don't dwell on that. When you cancel it, you burn that thing. You cancel it. You throw it out. So when you're canceling your thoughts and you're constantly renewing your mind and shutting down the seeds planted by the enemy, think about it. If you snip at the bud or uproot every single time someone tries to plant a weed in your garden, guess what? Your garden ain't gonna have any weeds, right? You're taking them out. You're uprooting them. Now, if you try to trim them, get them back under the surface, get the topsoil looking good or whatever, those roots are still spreading. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, walk in that freedom, uproot it, burn those thoughts, take every thought captive. And this is going to go back to right to repentance. Say you do fall, right? Righteous man falls 7 times. Say you do fall. When you repent, it's your pleading with God. You know, it's your pleading with God to change you, right? You're the one that needs to change. God doesn't need to change. God has already forgiven you. Jesus has already paid the fine for your sins. Your sin has been paid for and covered in the blood. But when you repent, you're asking God, renew me. Right? So there's repentance. You got to renounce. Say, God, I hate this sin. God, I am sorry that I've fallen, but I hate this sin, Lord. I renounce it. Change it. Take it from me. Turn me from it. Lord, I know you can't free me in my flesh. I can't do anything in my own power, but God, I renounce this sin. I hate it. And renew your mind, the word of God, and fill it. Replace that sin in your life. Replace that wickedness, that darkness, that perversion in your life. Because ultimately, it's a perversion. These are daughters of God. These are our sisters in Christ. They're not objects for our pleasure, you know? In reality, when you are perverting what God has created for your pleasure, it then is becoming a tool for your satisfaction. Therefore, it's an object. It's something you are using. And if you're doing this with people, even in your own thoughts, if you're coming into agreement with these thoughts, the Bible says where two or more are gathered. Why does it say that? Because there's a spiritual law of agreement. When you agree to a sin, that you agree to a thought, Jesus says, if you so much as look upon a woman with lust, what is lust? It's to have the intention, the idea, almost the fantasy of having that woman for yourself. When you come into agreement with that thought, with your eyes and you look with lust, Jesus says you've already committed adultery in your heart. You've already come into a spiritual agreement with that sin. That is why you're living in bondage. That's why you're living in cycles of sin, because you're coming into agreement with your eyes that are then producing a thought that is sinful, and you're not captivating it, canceling it, binding it, burning it. You're not doing what you need to do to set yourself free at this point. You know, it's the Spirit of God that empowers us to be free, but it's within our will and our own strength to take the steps. God will lead us in our walk. But we have a part to play in this as well. We have a discipline that we need to commit to. With all that being said, I think just repentance and forgiveness and freedom, all of these things come from renewal. You need to renew your mind. so many people struggle with what to do after.
Ah, man, afterwards you get that fire, you get in your word, you repent, you're sorry, you're praying, you're doing all these things, and then you're proclaiming victory until the temptation comes around again. The devil will sit back for a week, sure. It's just a phase. He's gonna be praying this week again. Yeah, he's gonna be reading his word again, whatever. He'll be weak in a week. Temptation comes. If you have no strength in temptation, are you strong at all? If you're walking and counting the days, are you free? That's not freedom. Freedom is freedom of thought, freedom of burden. God's going to lift these chains, break these chains, drop them, leave the shackles behind, and you walk away. You're free. So to walk in freedom, just disagree with bondage, right? Talking about the spiritual law of agreement. Hate your sin. Agree with that. The Bible says if you hate a man, it is murder. It's the same as murder. Why? Because you've already agreed to the egregious acts of degrading this person of their humanity by hating them, by having such an anger towards another person. You've come into agreement with the idea that this person doesn't deserve your love. So it's like, man, the laws of agreement, there's power in that.
Thank you for listening to another exciting episode of The Clean Project. If you found this message helpful, consider sharing with a like-minded student or peer in your communities of interest. Also, please help spread the message of The Clean Project by visiting our website at thecleanproject.net/support or sharing this podcast with a like-minded peer currently in the struggle. Also, please check out our website for details and more about how you can get support and even coaching for a host of issues involved in walking out a pure and clean life in your faith journey. So, till next time, this is your host Jason and co-host Gavin signing off. Peace.